Got to ask this question this morning because I've asked it for some of you already. And I know what's going to happen here, but I'm going to go ahead and do this. How many of you today are going to root for the Giants? How many are going to root for the Patriots? How many of you don't care either way? That's right. Braden said if Texas is not in it, hey, you don't care. It'd be hard for the Longhorns to get in the Super Bowl anyway. Praise God. If you have your Bibles this morning, Matthew chapter 5, we're going to go to part 2, talking about the Beatitudes. And we've had a great week here at the church. We've had events, it seems like, just about every night of the week, and Celebrate Recovery, awesome on Friday, and awesome teaching session Thursday, and had a wonderful prayer session last night, and God is doing something significant, and I agree with Pastor about this certain time of the year. It's just a wonderful time of the year to be thinking about the Lord. And men's Bible study this past Wednesday morning, Harold Dodgen challenged us to reach somebody for the cause of Christ. I don't want to go to heaven empty-handed. I want to have people by my side, and I want to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I don't want to be by myself. I want other people to come with me. Don't you? Praise God. Take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter number 5. And let's look at a verse of Scripture, verse 3. It says these words, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let's just pause for a second here and pray. God will bless our time together. Father, we just thank you this morning for the wonderful time of offering and worship and announcements. And we thank you this morning for the pre-service prayer time. And we thank you, Lord, today that we are not necessarily just so focused on the day of Super Bowl, but we're focused on what the Lord has for us. And I just pray, Lord, for the next 20 to 30 minutes that the Holy Spirit will reveal new truth, that God, there will be something that will illuminate our hearts. And Lord, I pray especially for those that have come with an emotional, a spiritual, a financial need today. And Lord, other needs that are in the lives of your people, that they'll be met today. Father, because in just a second of time, as they release that need or that burden to you, I know that it can be met and they can leave here changed by the power of God. Thank you that all things are possible to them that believe. We ask that you bless the message and the messenger. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Last week we talked about the first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And this week we're going to move on down through the list. There are eight of those, and we're just going to keep on moving down. Prayerfully get through all of those and be encouraged. Last week we talked about blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. With every beatitude, there is a definition that we could replace that word blessed for is happy. How many of you know that it's okay to be happy?
Amen.
It's all right to smile.
Amen.
In fact, it's all right to get up every day and be happy.
Yes.
Remember that song that was sung, Don't Worry, Be Happy? I don't want you to worry or be sad today. I'm not going to sing that. Don't worry, be happy. Many people choose to be happy. You ask people sometimes, why did you get married? To be happy? Yeah, I knew it'd take a second there. But do we get married to be happy? We should be happy before we get married. If we're going into marriage to be happy. You see, a lot of people look at things and people and places and they think, well, the church ought to make me happy or people in the church should make me happy. But my happiness is not dependent on you or this building or our pastor. My happiness is built on a relationship with Christ. That's where my happiness is. So the joy of the Lord is my strength. And whether you smile at me or not, or you shake my hand, or you do this, or take me to lunch or not, I stood up in front of the church one time, and I I was so brave. I would just, you know, do different things at different times. And I said, okay, folks, every Friday night, I want you to take me to your house to eat. And I got people after church going, man, you're presumptuous. And I thought, well, you know, they need to fellowship with their pastor. So about eight Friday nights, we got to eat out with people in our church. And some people didn't want to do that. Some people don't want the pastor over. Some people, you know, when it comes lunchtime today, they have the pastor for lunch, whether he knows it or not. But we went through about eight Friday nights, and people had us over for their house, and it was an enjoyable time. And yes, it was presumptuous on my part, but I did my best to invite them back over and get acquainted with us. But we realized that sometimes in our lives, there's a missing ingredient of joy. And one of the ways that we can have joy is to build solid relationships and get to know one another. We can come to church and we can leave church, and we can do that in the worship time, the offering time, the altar time, the service time, and still really not know the people that come there. Is this making sense to anybody? And as a result of that, we may not be reaching the level of happiness and joy that God designed that we be at. Now, I could preach on that, and I'm not going to. It's just an element to saturate and think about this morning, but we look at so many things. If I can just have a bigger house, or, you know, if I could just get a better wife, or if I could just get a better husband, or if I could just have better kids, if I could just have a better job. Hello? If I could just get out of Grove, I'd be happy. If I could just get out of this town. Have you know, it ain't got nothing to do with Grove. It's all about you. Amen? Grove is not depressing you. It's not your wife or your husband that's depressing you. It is that bond and that relationship that you must have with him to maintain joy. Because it doesn't matter if you live in Grove or Tulsa. It doesn't matter if you're married to this person or that person. You've got to have personal joy and happiness in your life. So if we sing five choruses and take up the offering and the pastor preaches like he's going to this morning for 3 hours, we're going to be happy. Hallelujah. Now that was strange. The people in the back clapped. What happened there? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, Fred had to get on with the offering. I've got to get on with the sermon here. Take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter 8 and verse number 34. If you have the outline, it is in the bulletin, and we have things on the overhead, and want to write things down, feel free to do that and take notes. Title is From Sorrow to Joy. How many know when you gave your life to Christ, it changed your outlook? Amen. And some of us, we rededicated our lives and it changed our outlook. Some of us may be here this morning and there's things going on, there's situations taking place, and we need joy. I want to encourage you this morning, it's free of charge. There's no waiting. You don't have to pay for it. All you have to do is just simply receive it. First of all, this morning, we're going to follow this outline the best that we can this morning. Those of you that were here last week, you got a 37-page book report on that outline, and I tried to trim it down this week. So I think we can get to all of it this morning. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 34, Paul says these words. He says, "Who then will condemn us?" Listen to that. Underline it. Who then will condemn us? Will Christ? No. For he is the one who died for us and came back to life again for us and is sitting at the place of highest honor next to God, pleading for us there in heaven. You know, many times people condemn themselves. Many times people walk around in judgment. Amen? And the only enemy that they really have is not anyone else but themselves. Paul makes it very clear, is Christ condemning or is he loving? And I'm glad for grace, which is unmerited favor. He is loving. Amen. And no matter how far I've drifted, no matter how far I've sinned, no matter how cold and lukewarm my condition is spiritually, he still loves me. Amen. And he never fails. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? You know it well. We've got to see who God really is. Is he up there with a hammer waiting for us to make a mistake? No. Is he there to receive us and to forgive us? How many have ever made a mistake? Maybe two or three or four or five or six or maybe more, right? You ever thought you were perfect? And that thought, it was just a tiny thought. It lasted like a nanosecond, didn't it? None of us are perfect, are we? We're not. We have to go back to the altar and back to the place of prayer and back to that covering where the Lord will forgive us. And sometimes we go back in there and we think in that prayer closet, Lord, how could you forgive me again? How could you love me again? How could you reach out and speak gentle words through the soft voice of the Holy Spirit? Because many times in our lives, we may feel judgment or condemnation, and we have to understand the love of God. It's powerful. Amen. There's not anything in the world that I can define any greater than the love of God. No matter how many times I've failed, no matter how many times I've messed up, no matter how many times I've made mistakes, he's there not to condemn me, but he's there to comfort me. Yes. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. I guess if there's one New Year's resolution besides losing weight this year, it would be for Mark Gamber, me, to be more loving. To be more loving. You say, well, you seem like a pretty loving person to me. Well, you haven't interviewed my family. Yes. I want to be more loving. I want to be more caring. I want to be less critical and less judgmental. And I want to be more forgiving because I want to follow the example of Christ. The Bible tells us in Psalm 86, 15. But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and a gracious God. Now, comma here. Why? Because then it says these words. Slow to anger. Slow to anger. God is the God of compassion. Abounding in love and faithfulness. That's what God is like. He's compassionate. He's compassionate. That doesn't mean that he's not balanced and he can be angry, but his primary attribute is compassion. In fact, it goes on to say he's full of mercy and he's full of comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 3. He says, God is the Father who is full of mercy and comfort. Amen? Comfort. You say, well, Pastor Mark, I have this list of these things, and I don't feel good about myself, and I don't feel good about this person and this leader, and I don't feel good about this, and I don't feel good about that, and yet we have not learned to move beyond that critical, condemning spirit, that judgmental spirit, and understand that if God is compassionate, so should we be. Amen? How many have ever felt that spirit of disinterest and selfishness and little compassion come upon you? And instead of giving because of your agenda or because of your schedule, and I fit into this category, we had more important things to do. But I believe Jesus was a people person. I believe that he cared about people. Oh, but I have a car, I have a boat, I have a lake home, I have a bank account, I have an IRA, I have CDs, I have children that need me, that are interested in me. I have all of these things. I mean, no, things won't make you happy. Right. They'll fade away. Go with me for just a second, if you would. Indulge me as we go to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9, and I can't take time to read this whole chapter, but I just want to take a little portion. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 18. Jesus' ministry was so focused on people that he went about teaching and preaching the kingdom of the gospel with authority, and he was willing to love people as they were. I believe when we follow this model of Jesus and love people as they are, that the kingdom of God will be lengthened and strengthened and grow as a result, because we're more concerned about the need than our own desire. Amen? Well, Where do you get that from, Pastor Mark? I get it from the Word of God in Matthew chapter number 9, verse number 18. He says, while he was saying these things to them, behold, there came a synagogue official and bowed down before him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. And Jesus rose and began to follow him, and so did his disciples. You see, in life sometimes we get bothered by circumstances. We get bothered by people. We get bothered by situations, but Jesus was not bothered by it. In fact, he was secure in realizing here's an opportunity to meet a need. And behold, a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage. Now, he hasn't even met this need, but he's moving towards another need. Ministry involves compassion in action, meeting needs. And sometimes those needs will stack up one on top of another. But how often are we willing to meet a need? And behold, a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. Here's two needs, very quickly, that I would imagine that in both of these situations, there was some pain, there was some frustration, there was some discomfort, if you will. There was a problem. In fact, this one woman had this for 12 years. And the other situation, it was sorrow that invaded the home because of the death of a loved one. In verse 21, for she was saying to herself, if I only touch the garment, I will get well. She had faith, didn't she? Amen. All I got to do is get to Jesus. Many times we're rattled in our thinking. All I got to do is get to the medicine cabinet. All I got to do is call 911 and get to the doctor. All I got to do is get to the psychologist. I hope Pastor Lay is awake because I just got to call him right now. Hello?
Yeah.
Anybody with me?
Yes.
What's wrong with just going to Jesus before we do anything?
Amen.
Oh, that's too easy. Jesus can set us free. Jesus can heal us. Jesus can meet our financial needs. And where the checkbook balance says zero, he can put a one in front of that zero and put several zeros behind it. Jesus is not limited. He has power to change the situation. Amen? You say, oh, that was the New Testament. Well, it's still going on today. The woman had been suffering, for she was saying to herself, if I only touch his garment, I shall get well. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well. And at once the woman was made well. 12 years, day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out, getting up, not feeling good. And in 1 second, whew, change. Why do we take our stuff and we bring it into church and we go home with it? And we take it into our place of employment, and then we bring it home with us. Why don't we leave it with God?
Amen.
Why don't we just leave it there? Take courage, your faith has made you well. And when Jesus came into the official's house and saw the flute players and the crowd in noisy disorder, he began to say, depart, for the girl is not dead, but is asleep. And they were laughing at him. But when the crowd had been put out, he entered and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And this news went into all the land. And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, have mercy on us, son of David. And after he had come into the house, the blind men came up to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, be it done to you according to your faith. And their eyes were open, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see here, let no one know about this. But they went out and they spread the news about him in all that land. You can't tell somebody to shut up if they've just been healed. You can't tell somebody to be quiet if they've just been saved. You can't tell somebody to be still if they've just been filled with the Holy Spirit or called into ministry because they're excited about it. Amen? Hallelujah. I've been saved. I've been healed. I've been called. I've been delivered. What's wrong with being intense about that? And as they were going out, behold, a dumb man, demon-possessed, was brought to him. And after the demon was cast out, the dumb man spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, nothing like this was ever seen in Israel. But the Pharisees were saying, he cast out demons by the ruler of the demons. And Jesus was going out about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them. Somebody's got to start caring about the multitude. Somebody's got to start having compassion for our neighbor. Somebody's got to start caring for the man who's inside and he's been hurt and he is using a needle to shoot up every day so that he will feel happy. Somebody's got to care about the guy that's buying beer like crazy because it makes him feel good. How many know that feel good feeling is only temporary? You can feel good in church, but what do you feel like when you leave and you get up on Monday morning? Well, you can feel good there too. If you have an ongoing relationship with the Lord. Seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and they were downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord to the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." God is a God of compassion, and he's about being a part of your everyday life. How many know you can take God to work?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
You can take God home with you. You can get up with God. You can go to bed at night with God. God wants to be a part of your everyday life. I was ministering before, and I went to go see a man at his workplace, and it seemed as though he was embarrassed that I was there the whole time. And you guys have all heard the reports sometimes. Well, this person, that person, they raise their hands, they sing in church, they laugh, they dance, they're all excited. But when I see them in the workplace, they're a different person. And I wonder why. Well, I think this particular person just was different in church than he was at work. He was a leader in the church. He was a person of prominence in the church. He was an important person, but he was different at work. You know, if it's good for me on Sunday, it's good for me on Monday.
Amen.
If it's good for me on Monday, it's good for me the rest of the week.
Yes.
Why would I change? Why would I be different? Psalms 23:4 tells us, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." That rod and that staff is not there to beat you over the head. That rod and that staff is there to protect you and to comfort you. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah! The Lord is wanting to love us and encourage us. Number two, this morning I must see who I really am. Romans 3:23, "I am a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior." How many would agree with that statement? I can't save myself. "For all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God." His standard. Hallelujah. For all have sinned. All fall short. All of us. I've never met a person who said they had never sinned. We all have. We're born into it. Never met a person who said they're perfect, that they've never made a mistake. There's something in all of us that needs the Lord. We need him to guide us. We need wisdom. We need direction. We need help in everyday life and making decisions. We all need a Savior. Are you with me?
Yes.
Luke chapter 12 and verse number 2. Now here is where the rubber meets the road. Hope you're looking this up or writing it down. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 2. This is where we get serious about God. I appreciate Janet Lay coming into prayer meeting last night. She said, "I'm tired of games, tired of playing church. Let's get real. Let's get busy. Let's get with it, church." Amen?
Amen.
Luke chapter number 12, verse number 2. "But there is nothing covered up," hello, "that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be made known." Wow. Well, I thought nobody knew about it. I thought nobody. It was just me. I just knew about it. Well, that's probably the worst case scenario because the Lord does. Hello? I mean, the Lord knows what kind of car you drive. And we all know that God drives a Chevrolet, don't we? The Lord knows where you live. The Lord knows you, and he knows what's going on in this computer compartment between these two ears. He knows what's in your heart. Well, wait a minute. Is God all-knowing? God all-seeing? God all-powerful? God knows everything. He knows the beginning from the end. He created us. So if he created you, do you not think that he doesn't know your inward parts? Hello? He knows your mind. He knows your heart. He knows exactly what you're thinking. He knows what's going on there. You cannot keep the true self hidden forever, because the Bible says nothing will be covered up that will not be revealed. You say, oh, Pastor Mark, that's scary. You can't hide behind your true self forever. Before long, you'll be exposed. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You can't hide behind a religious mask. Amen? Amen? I'm a deacon in this church. I'm an usher in this church. How many know, so what? What's in our hearts? What's in our hearts? Titles don't get us to heaven. What's in our hearts? You can't hide behind the true self forever. Before long, you'll be exposed. You can't hide behind a religious mask. Sooner or later, that mask will slip and the true face will be recognized. And yet we spend much of our time and energy hiding behind a mask, thinking nobody knows, nobody understands, nobody realizes, and we're miserable on the inside. Now, I want to give you some encouragement. We're not going to stay planted here in the negative. I am in need of transparency. I'm in need of you. Iron sharpens iron. I need you and you need me. And I need a prayer partner, an accountability partner. I need relationships in the body of Christ, people I can trust. Amen?
Amen.
I don't want to hear everything from everybody. Please don't stop me in the hall today and give me a laundry list. How many know we have our own personal laundry list? But we can find somebody important that will pray with us and listen to us, and we can be transparent with. Number three, I have to see how God can change me. I've got to trust God's power to change me. If God's power cannot change me, nothing can. Amen? Well, if I go see Pastor Lay about 7 times, I think I'll finally get it. Listen, you can get there before those 7 appointments by letting God change you. Letting God soften the rough edges. Letting God perfect those things that need to be perfected. Letting God take care of your problems. The Bible says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who get serious about God. I have got to see how God can change me. Isaiah chapter 40, and let's look at that in verse number 28. It tells us these words about comfort. Comfort my people. Comfort them. Have you never heard or understood? Don't you know that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth? He never grows faint or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to those who are tired and worn out. And I will say this in parentheses, sin wears you out. Wears you out. You know why people get tired? They're full of sin. You know why people have a lot of energy? They're full of grace. We have to have that connection, that relationship with Christ. He never grows faint or weary. No one can measure the depth of his understanding. He gives power to those who are tired and worn out. He offers strength to the weak. Even young people will become exhausted. We've got a multitude of young people that are exhausted because they're trying drugs and illicit sex and trying alcohol and staring at the boob tube 24/7 and doing this and doing that, looking for acceptance and love and forgiveness and situations that will comfort them. Even youth will become exhausted and young men will give up. It's tragedy when our churches are not filled with young men. But those who wait on the Lord will find strength. They will fly high like the wings of an eagle. Wow. But they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and they will not faint. You see, we do have hope because God is able to change us. I've got to trust God's power to change me. Are you with me? I've got to trust His power to change me. I've got to realize that God's able to do some amazing things for me. They tell me that a hummingbird will just fly at a certain level. He can get no higher. I'm not a bird expert, so don't hold me to this, although my kids do watch Animal Planet a lot. But an eagle can fly high. An eagle can go way, way, way up there, thousands of feet above the earth. You ever watched an eagle? It's amazing. Sometimes I've just watched these eagles fly, and I'm like, wow, I'd just love to just do that. Just fly wherever I wanted to. I mean, they have free gas. They don't even have to gas up. Just fly. But that hummingbird is just busy. You ever hear a hummingbird? They're busy people. Busy, 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 busy. You know, hummingbird. busy. But they're not ever, you know, they're just kind of like this. They're not ever getting up there where the eagle gets. That eagle gets up there and just begins to relax and just glide and go wherever he wants to. It's amazing how God made that eagle. And you know, as I was thinking about that example of the differences in those two birds, how many people do you know just all the time they're exhausted because they're just all the time, you know? This church ain't run right, you know. Pastor preaches too long. There's pots and pans that I can't find here and there. And the greeters, man, that guy's got bad breath. And I don't like Brother Papoofney. He's always nagging me and blah, blah, blah. But then there's these folks that come into church and they're eagles. And they don't care about all that stuff. They don't care about the details. It's too hot in here. It's too cold in here. Too many people getting up. Too many people wrestling. They're just soaring like this because when they're in church, they're just like soaking up every word. They don't like run to their cars when the pastor says amen. They hang around and they pray and they mingle and they fellowship because they're not. They're like this. They're flying. They want to see what God's got next for them. Hello? Hello? You didn't know I was going to hurt you at the end of this message, did you? We began this message talking about the Lord is not there to condemn us. He is there to receive us and love us and accept us. And whether Sister Papoofney has bad breath or Brother Slobberknocker gets in my way and talks to me all day, it really doesn't matter. He's just a person and he's got to go home and eat sometime. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to be that eagle. I want to soar above the fray.
Yes.
Amen? Life is too short.
Yes.
Life is too short. Yes, the temperature has to be right. Yes, the pastor's got to end at a certain time on Sunday morning. Yes, the greeters need good breath. Yes, we need all of those things. All of those things are good. But so what if it's not perfect?
Amen.
Amen? Now, we can strive towards perfection. We can improve what we are doing. But we ain't ever going to get there. We just ain't. We're going to make mistakes. You're going to fall down. I'm going to fall down. We are prone. My wife's going to talk to me after service today, and I already know what she's going to say. She's going to say, good message, but you forgot to wipe the corners of your mouth. I don't get very far with big ego at all. God has a plan. God has a purpose. God has a reason for us to be here. God wants to put us together in unity and in harmony and receive what he has. And I just want to encourage you with this closing point. It does not matter what problem that you have today internally. Forgive those little examples that I gave you earlier. I see people grabbing breath mints, some people writing notes down. But spiritually, internally, whatever you're facing, I want to tell you this morning as we close this message, that is not a problem to me that you have a problem. That's not a problem to me. That's an opportunity for me to pray with you about how to get through that.
Amen.
But before you ever get that far, let me just encourage you, go to him first. Go to him first. Because he needs to hear about it and he needs to know that you care about him because he cares about you. The Bible says, cast all your care upon him. For he careth for you. I don't know if you read the bulletin or use it for a bookmarker, but I don't always read it. But I work here, but I was reading it in the last couple of weeks and I was getting pumped up. You say, Pastor Mark, how do you get pumped up about a bulletin? Well, I was reading the praise reports. And the praise reports were positive praise reports. This person got healed. This person sold their house. This person got a praise report that their daughter was improving in her health. This person sold their house. This person sold their house. Did y'all realize there's been about 5 houses sold here in the last month? Isn't that an answer to prayer?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory to God. Answered prayer. is a reason to praise Him. That's a praise report.
Amen.
Healing in bodies is a praise report. Amen. I love reading that little section because it encourages me. The newspaper will not do that for me. But when you've been blessed, share it with somebody else because they will realize if God did it for them, He can do it for me.
This has been a production of Cornerstone Church in Grove, Oklahoma. For more information about Cornerstone, you can call 918-786-6164 or send an email to info@cornerstonechurchofgrove.com. Thanks for listening.